Welcome to Healing the Heart with Dr. Eric Love. Spoken of by many as one of the greatest living masters of the backflower remedies, he has the oldest ongoing classes with the remedies in the world, 40 years, and has worked with over 100,000 people. He will be showing us how to recognize and heal our shadow side and the emotional baggage we all carry, using the advanced protocols he has developed with the Love Healing System. To learn more, please visit his website at www.drericlove.com for more information. Now, here is our host, Dr. Eric Love.
God bless us all here. Let's begin. Welcome to Healing the Heart. Tonight's show, March 15th of 2014. Let's begin with a prayer. Lord, bless this show tonight and bless our connection with you and help our work to be close to your healing power and your healing gifts, and give us the direction and the guidance to the secret doorways and the secret passageways to the healing art. In his holy name, amen. I want to say with a quick disclaimer before we get going, and that is that nothing here we're going to do or talk about is meant to diagnose or treat or cure disease. And if you have a disease, you should go to a primary care physician, which in Arizona and Oregon, you can go to a naturopath. Otherwise, medical doctor. Now, first thing I want to talk about is from Emerson. Emerson wrote, check this out, "Nothing happens by chance. Everything is pushed from behind. Nothing happens by chance. Everything is pushed from behind." So when you've got a situation, a condition, you've got pain, you've got a disease, it's not a random thing come about by chance. It came about because of karmic forces that are pushing it to come into existence. What are those karmic forces? The great Saint Kirpal Singh, who was president of the World Fellowship of Religions, he wrote, "Most of our ills are psychosomatic, being the result of emotional disturbances caused by hatred, animosity, and worry." I'm going to read that one more time. This man was the only spiritual teacher in all of India, a personal friend of mine, the only spiritual teacher that the Indian Parliament invited to come and speak before them. "Most of our ills are psychosomatic, being the result of emotional disturbances caused by hatred, animosity, and worry." And Dr. Bach himself wrote, "This system of healing, which has been divinely revealed unto us, shows that it is our fears, our cares, our anxieties, and such like that open the path to the invasion of illness. Thus, by treating our fears, our cares, our worries, and so on, we not only free ourselves from our illness, but the herbs given to us by the grace of the Creator of all, in addition, take away our fears and worries and leave us happier and better in ourselves." Now, I'm reading now from Dr. Bach's book called The 12 Healers and Other Remedies. Anyone listening to this broadcast, you should go and Google 12 Healers and Other Remedies. You can get a free PDF download from the Bach Center in England. You can get this book for free. Dr. Bach only left us two books. He burned everything else. He didn't want people to see anything but the final product. The 12 Healers, and the other book is called Heal Thyself. just Google Heal Thyself and get yourself a free PDF download. These two books are going to explain the basics of healing the emotional component and healing the emotional spiritual conflict inside of a person. I have one more thing to read from the 12 healers. Thus, behind all disease lies our fears, our anxieties, our greed, our likes and dislikes. Let us seek these out and heal them, and with the healing of them will go the disease from which we suffer. So Dr. Bach says, behind all disease lies our fears, our anxieties, our greed, our likes and dislikes. Our fears and anxiety, that means the emotional. That means what they call in Alcoholics Anonymous, they call it your character defects. When I was in Santa Monica, I had some people who were in Alcoholics Anonymous. They just loved taking the willow remedy, because willow's a remedy for resentment. And when they're in Alcoholics Anonymous, they got to work through their resentment, do paperwork on it, do some heavy processing on their resentment. And they love taking the willow because it would help them, simulate them to heal that resentment. And Bach talks about fear. Last week we took up Mimulus, which we'll talk a little bit more about this week. Mimulus is a remedy for fear, world of fear, fears and anxieties. We talked about that there's about five, six remedies for anxiety. Our greed. Now here, Dr. Bach writes, the primary diseases of mankind are such things as pride, cruelty, hatred, ignorance, instability, and greed, selfishness. These are spiritual defects. So we can say that the one great cause of disease is the spiritual defects and the character defects that the person is carrying that they need to resolve. Let us seek these out, Dr. Bach writes, and heal them. And with the healing of them will go the condition from which we suffer. So the first thing when you suffer, there's a spiritual law that says treat the person, not the disease. Get to know the person and find out what the issues are and the baggage is that the person has that needs to be cleared. The future is all about the self. The future is all about healing the inner self. So let me read your poem here. I wrote it down yesterday. Well, this is about feelings, and you can't do work on the emotional component unless you allow yourself to start feeling your feelings. So here's a point about feelings. Why don't you start to feel your feelings? Once again, start to feel your heart. Go into your heart. Instead of fighting up against the mountainside, lost inside your head, running in your head, not your heart. The gentle flow of water, moving life and breath, bubbling up and out onto the mountainside. You reach to take a drink, the fresh and living water of the earth, the mountain air, the warming morning sun, to drink again the flowing waters of your heart, the feelings you have pushed away and never dare to feel, or know, or touch. And all the ancient wisdom lying dormant in the shadows and the footsteps of your heart. Don, if you're there, am I sounding okay on this Bluetooth?
Well, Okay,
are you there? I just want to introduce you. This is Don Newsom, best engineer ever.
Well, thank you so much.
It is a pleasure being a part of your program. Thank you, sir, very much.
Well, I'm honored. You do a very good job. You keep me going here, so I really appreciate it.
Well, it's and also, healing the heart, friend.
Oh, go ahead.
Thank you. No, I just said it's healing the heart. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. If you notice dropping off on the Bluetooth, just let me know. It's so convenient to just sit here and have my hands free.
Well, I understand.
I wanted to introduce you to everyone. So because you're behind the scenes and whispering in my ear from time to time and making the engineering this program going. So I just wanted to kudos to you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's my pleasure. It is a pleasure. And to be on Healing the Heart, where it's all about heart and love, is my pleasure. Thank you. I love being here.
Thank you. So continuing on here with my notes, as long as I can read them, I didn't bring my flashlight tonight, so when it gets dark, I think I'm going to be babbling extempore. Problem is, that we're facing today is that we don't know how to go into our inner self and resolve the issues and the baggage and the karmas on the inner self and restore inner peace to the inner self on the inside of ourselves. Now, Deborah, hats off to Deborah, who is listening and who is also part of the PPS. And since I'm mentioning Deborah, I also want to mention Douglas Newsom, who is computer whiz and also an engineer with BBS, and kudos to you, too. I guess my claim to fame, what I tell everybody, is I'm the only person beginning to meet that will tell you that I'm really happy. I'm really happy, and I really have peace of mind. I'm healthy. I'm whole. I don't have any body pain. I don't have any illness. That's what I'm teaching to my students, people who study with me and take my course. I teach you how to have peace of mind. Napoleon Hill said that he met the 500 wealthiest people in the United States, most successful. And he said that none of them had peace of mind except for one person, John Burroughs, famous naturalist. He said that the second was Thomas Edison, and the third was Andrew Carnegie. People think that money is going to give them peace of mind, but you know it really doesn't. Ian Fleming was the guy who wrote the James Bond novels, and he was a struggling artist. He had a little place in, I believe it was in the Bahamas, but, you know, money was really tight. He was poor, and he was struggling. Once he landed the James Bond novels and they became famous, he became very wealthy. John Kennedy came and visited him, and the Prime Minister of England came and visited him. And there was a reporter who also came and visited him and said, "Mr. Fleming, now you've got money. Now you're a wealthy man. What's it like to finally have the wealth that you've always been longing for your whole life?" He said the most amazing thing. He said, "Ashes. Ashes." Meaning that it was as valuable as ashes. Money cannot give you peace of mind. Everybody goes, I need a woman. I need a man. If I could only just get some money, if I just get a house, if I just get a car, if I just get the education, everybody's thinking if they could just get this or achieve that, they're going to be happy. Happiness doesn't come from that. Happiness, the secret is, the happiness comes from two sources. One, from connecting with God. It's only when you're connected up with your higher self and you can listen to the guidance, to the messages, all wisdom, all joy, and all everything. So that should be your first connection, especially if you're trying to heal yourself. And then, if you really want to be happy, you need to resolve your baggage and your garbage and your issues and your stuff and your junk and the crap that you carry on the inside of yourself. People think, if I just go to another place, if I go to another location, well, you're going to be, it's going to be the same there because you take yourself with you. Wherever you go, you're still there and you still got the same issues. One person called that a lateral shift. He named it a lateral shift. I think that's a real good word for that. Go somewhere else, but just go over there. If I can just go to Europe, if I can just go to America, if I can just go to Costa Rica, and you go there, it's all the same because you're still the same. Next subject I want to talk about is humility. Kirpal Singh wrote, "Man knows so many things that he does not know himself. A man has so many sheets in himself covering the depths of his heart. Man learns and unlearns all through life. It is wiser to remain a student than a teacher, than to be a teacher. A student of the mystery of life." So, Makana here, if you want to learn to heal, if you want to learn to heal yourself, you want to develop humility instead of going around thinking you know everything. The God that rules millions is the ego. Enthrone on your heart the God of love and cease to wonder. And what should be done to do so? Become as humble as ashes and dust. And then Kirpal Singh continues, "For want of humility, men and women are leading an unbearable, miserable life. All this misery is from within. It is not a change in our circumstances, but deliverance from the thraldom of self, the petty ego that sits a tyrant, robbing us of the bliss that is our heritage as the children of God. We are, as it were, in a cage of self-centeredness. And until the prison is opened by the key of humility, the swan bird of the soul is not free and cannot swim to the regions of radiance and joy. The way to true blessedness is the way of humility and love. He who is humble has no problems. He has God as his God. Significant of the words are the words of the shepherd and singing in Shepherd Boy singing in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. He that is down need fear no fall. He that is low, no pride. He that is humble ever shall have God to be his guide. I am content with what I have, little be it or much. And Lord, contentment still I crave, because thou sayest such." And he continues, "The great Chinese sage, Lao Tse, express a thought in beautiful words. How does a sea become the king of all rivers and streams? Because it lies lower than them. St. Augustine said, the way to God is first humility, second humility, and third humility. He who is proud of possessions or of learning or of authority will not go to any saint unless he is humble. Even if he goes to the saint, he will consider himself superior to him and he won't listen to him. A glass which is kept above a tumbler of water will remain empty until it is put below the tumbler. You know what you know. Just listen to what the other says. Perhaps we can learn something from him. Each one of us is unique in his own way. There is a divine purpose behind the life of everyone who comes into the world." no one has been created from nothing. We have something to learn from everyone. This is the mystery of humility. Our society teaches us that we need to go into our ego, and we need to have pride, and we need to be arrogant, and that we need to know everything, or at least act like we know everything. We need to be on top. We need to be dominant. We need to be on top. Our society doesn't teach us how to go within ourselves, within the inside of ourselves, to know ourselves, and to learn to be content with ourselves, and to find peace on the inside of ourselves. Our society teaches us to operate out of our ego. I know everything. I am great. No one knows as much as me. No one is like me. So how can we channel any kind of great healing ability unless we have humility? It's the first thing, to learn to become as humble as ashes and dust. I was listening today to a book called Washington, A Life. I love that book. Won the Pulitzer Prize. And he was saying how George Washington, when he was with people, he just listened. He was very humble. You would never know that he was such a... He was so humble, he just listened. Emerson wrote, "Take your bloated nothingness out of the way. Take your bloated nothingness out of the way." We need to learn. Here's the secret. We need to learn to merge with God's plan, with the Tao, spelled T-A-O, it's the Chinese word for God, the divine plan, God's will, personal will, for our own personal life. Back to Kirpal Singh, his book, Prayers, Nature and Technique, he writes, "We have not yet learned the will of God and how that will works entirely for our benefit. We do not know and understand that grand plan." So when you're trying to heal yourself, or when you're working to help someone else heal, or you're working to help you heal the other person, what you want to do is find the great plan, the grand plan, the divine plan, and merge your will self, to put your ego down and merge yourself into the grand plan, into God's will, into the Tao. And we have a system, the system that I'm teaching, where you can learn to help to heal yourself. You don't need to suffer. You can learn to heal your own self. Physician, heal thyself. It is the secret gateway. Hardly anybody knows about physician heal thyself. That's what I teach in the program. Let me read you another point. This one's called calm. If you do not know yourself, where will you go? What will you do? For you know not who you are. Why you are here, or the purpose of your breath. Where is the peace you've wanted for so long, the rest and comfort you have lost, the zone, the place you do not have to push, try and effort through the moonless night? The desert path is still tonight. She steps among the cactus and eternal sand of earth. The stars are sleeping millions. The earth, its breath of gentle wind. Where is the peace that she once knew? An inner peace that she's been aching for. An ancient peace that fills the mind with calm and stillness in the night. Where is the stillness and the silence, free of stress or pushing or the struggle to achieve How is it that a night like this can cherish so much peace? How can her heart embrace and finally understand herself, the meaning, the mystery, and the secrets of the desert night? We need to learn to be present with our suffering. There's a spiritual law which says, stay with your pain. If you can't be present with your pain, your suffering, how can you be present with anybody else's suffering or their pain? Everybody wants to run away. They want to escape their pain. They want to deny their pain. Anything but feel the pain and allow it in, be present with it. And then sort it out and seek to understand what God's trying to teach you. If you can't listen to your pain, how can you listen to anyone else's pain? If you can't listen to yourself, how can you listen to someone else's self? I need money. I need pain. I can't accept this. I want something else. God puts us in a place, a location, a station, where we're supposed to be and we're supposed to learn some lessons at that point. Sometimes there's suffering. Sometimes there's great suffering. Sometimes there's pain. Sometimes great pain. And sometimes disease. And sometimes loneliness. And sometimes old age. And sometimes confusion. Pain. That is exactly where we're supposed to be. The pain and the suffering, if you want to heal that, the hurt, you heal it by finding out what God's plan is, what God's trying to teach you, what the lessons are, and healing your faults, that God's trying to set you up to learn to become a different person, to change who you are and grow and become a whole new person who doesn't have these faults and doesn't have this baggage and doesn't have these issues anymore. So we need to learn to relax and turn it over and quit fighting. Check this out. I had a student who had some very bad things happening with her health. And in a class in North Carolina, this is what she told the class. These are her words. Pay real close attention to this. This is like too cool for school. For me personally, I had some really difficult health changes this year. And I've done a lot of work trying to heal a lot of traumas from my childhood. But when this disease happened, I had to really take a look at what I was attracting. I began to embrace my disease as a teacher. I'm going to read that again. I began to embrace my disease as a teacher. I began to do SAF and Bach and go, okay, I'm welcoming you, meaning the disease, I'm welcoming you into my life. I know you're here to teach me where I'm off target with myself. What's my destiny and what I came here to do. And I started working with the disease from that place. It was really remarkable. Instead of like an enemy or something awful or bad or wrong, to really take Bach on and some of the other really great teachers on the planet who say, it's just you're out of alignment. You have to tweak some things, get underneath some things, and the disease will actually begin to shift. And I had manifested some really serious conditions. And they started shifting really, really rapidly with VSAF. Between 50 to 90 days, I'd say that 75% had gone. And I have another point here. You ever thought about your inner self? The crap and baggage that you carry in your heart. And all the pain and issues, all the losses and the hurt lying buried in the trunk up in the attic in the dust. Have you ever thought about yourself and who you really are? Instead of all the doing, running, reaching, all the trying, until your bones drop free onto the shelf. You ever thought about the meaning of your life? The person you were really meant to be? The gifts you have locked up inside? The self you never see? Who are you really? The sand has turned to stone, and earth has given forth its treasures from the night. Who are you truly? Who is it you are really meant to be? Inside the shadows of the desert night, beside the bubbling waters of a cool mountain spring, inside the dreams of life and breath, inside the words your heart to sing. Okay, so let's talk now about minimalists. A few more things I want to talk about minimalists. Tell you about minimalists. We went over last week. Minimalist is a remedy for fear of world things. Anything of the world, fears of the world. Jim Blackman, an L.A. medical doctor there, calls them everyday fears. A lot of people these days live in a world of fear. This, I think, if we look back on, 2010 to 2020, we could almost call it the decade of fear, because people are in such great fear, worried about the future, worried about disease, and we're not supposed to talk about it. It's not politically correct. So if you're sitting next to somebody who's tortured, tormented about worry about disease or worry about money or whatever, they'll never tell you about it. You have to get to know them really good before they open up. It's a sign of weakness to talk about this. It's a sign of weakness to talk about any of your emotions. And people also believe there's no way to resolve it. Well, I'm telling you, there is a way to resolve it. These flower essences are really good for that. That's what they're about. There was a gal that I think I mentioned last week, took my course, dropped out in the middle. The only remedy she had purchased was minimalist. She was very poor. She was telling me all the time about her fear she's going to lose her house. And, was taking the minimalist. Well, I lost touch with her for couple of years. She called me back and started working with me again. And she said it's really something. She's been taking the minimalist straight through the past couple of years. She's still back at the loser house. She has almost no money, raising two or three children, no husband. And she said her girlfriends go, oh my God, you must be terrified with the worry about money and the fear that you're going to lose your house. And she smiles at them and says, no, I don't worry about that. I trust that God's going to take care of that. See, I think it's like so cool. She was taking the minimalist, and she just didn't worry. God helped her to process through her fears, so she just didn't have those fears. God bless her. And there's a young lady sitting in the rest home who has MS who's listening tonight. And her body's pretty much shut down, except she can use her arm. And she told me, we did her remedies, and she told me about the great fear that she had. So I wakes up in the middle of the night thinking, oh my God, what if my mother dies and there's no one to take care of me anymore? Because the mother's like the closest person to her and loves her and really takes care of her. So I say, well, you're taking that minimalist, which is for worldly fear. I said, do you have less fear? She said, well, yeah, I do. How long have you been taking it? It's 2 or 3 months. I said, well, I've had terrible fear of being left alone with no one to take care of you and love you. Is that better? She says, yeah, it is. I said, how much better? She said, oh, it's about 50% better. And I said, that's just way cool. And so we made up a new set of memories, kept them in the center. That's when mindfulness works. The action of the remedies, it doesn't heal you. The action of the remedies, it stimulates you to go through the processing that you need to do on the inside of yourself so that you yourself, on the inside of yourself, can rectify and resolve these issues of fear and anxiety, depression, that you can work through those issues on the inside of yourself through inner work on the inside of yourself. Something like Prozac or something, the way that works is it just blots out your feelings. You don't have any more feelings and you think you're all better. People have terrible fear of disease. People have fear of getting cancer. One of the problems, if you're fearing getting cancer, is you think about it all the time. If you think about something all the time, have that image in your mind, well, you know what? You become what you think about. In this age, Dr. Bach writes, fear of disease has developed until it has become a great power for harm, because it opens up the door to those things we dread and makes it easier for their admission. There is a factor which science is, that's because you think about it over and over. There's a factor which science is unable to explain. This is one of my favorite quotes from Bach. Factor which science is unable to explain on physical grounds, and that is why some people become affected by disease, which others escape. Although in most cases, they're open to the same possibility of infection. Materialism forgets that there is a factor above the physical plane, which in the ordinary course of life protects or renders susceptible any particular individual with regard to disease. So that factor would be a karmic factor which makes you susceptible to taking the disease. And that you heal through working through the emotional spiritual component. And people say, well, if I just had money, then I'd be fine. Well, I got a newspaper, Ted Turner, I just spoke in at MSU, and he was a multi-billionaire. He told the business department, he says, he still worries about money. He still feels like he doesn't have enough money. He's got to figure out how to get more money. He's a multi-billionaire. If you worry about money, if you win the lottery, you'd have a lot of money. You're still going to worry about money. I promise you. It's a mood inside of you. You become what you think about. Elvis Presley thought all the time about dying from a drug overdose at the age of 42. His fear, like his mother, feared over and over again. It's exactly what happened. Ricky Nelson talked about his fear of dying in a plane crash and burning to death. It's exactly what happened to him. And the woman who was raped, and the police officer told Dr. Murphy when they went into her house, she had clippings about women who were raped back 20 years. You've got people who are worried about getting in a car accident. There was a father in the class. The daughter told the class that he was worried about germs. So every time he'd touch a chair, like when he was at dinner, he'd use his wrist, he'd wash his hands, and then use his wrist to pull the chair out because he's afraid about getting germs on his hands. And yet, all of us have been worried about going into a bathroom, a public bathroom, and touching things, and getting germs. People worry, it tears them to pieces. What if I lose my job? What if my car breaks down? I don't have enough money to fix it. So, in the high woods, I'm, oh my God, what if I'm walking along and a bear jumps down and mauls me? Well, you know what? The truth is, once I read some Forest Service manuals and stuff, when you're in the woods walking along, you're supposed to make some noise so the bears hear that you're there, and they're not going to jump down and accost you. Fear comes for a reason. It's to teach us things. Mimulus is the remedy for worldly everyday care. Now let's go to our next remedy, which is large. And if you want to keep notes, this is a good time to grab your pen and pencil. Mimulus and large are part of the remedies for parasitic infestation. That means people sucking your energy and taking your power. People sucking your energy, feeding off of you, using you as a feeder. People dumping their negative energy onto you, using you as a dumper. These remedies, and the remedies we'll be talking about over the next few weeks, are for shielding and protection. There's about 9 remedies for shielding and protection where God teaches you how to protect yourself and shield yourself from people using you as a dumper and a feeder. It's one of the greatest causes of all disease is people sucking the energy, taking power, dumping their negative crap all over. Large is a remedy for confidence. Lack of self-confidence. A feeling of inferiority, he said. I always feel a little inferior. So if you're going around and you feel inferior, you don't feel as good as these other people, large is a remedy to help to heal that inferiority. I don't feel like I have anything to offer. I feel like I know what I'm talking about, but I just don't feel confident enough, capable enough that I really have what it takes. My father told me that he was an expert on drug addiction, alcoholism, and he told me that he was invited to speak for a congressional subcommittee. Very big honor for him. And he told me that as he sat there and they asked him questions, he said over and over in his mind, I just hope that they don't realize that I'm fake and a phony and I'm just faking it, that I really don't know what I'm talking about. Because at the time, he told me that he didn't have that much self-confidence. So if you need self-confidence, or you feel capable and you're good enough, large is the remedy you want to take. Low self-esteem. Which one of self-esteem remedies? Low worth, low value. My truth is in opposition to the people around me. And you can't speak the truth because you don't have that much confidence. You feel you don't have what it takes, that you're not good enough, that you're not capable enough, that you don't really have something to offer. Feels incapable as compared to others. There was a doctor who told me that every other doctor in Santa Monica was an expert on nutrition. They had written books on nutrition, but he just didn't know that much about it, and he felt inferior to all the other chiropractors. And then in the same breath, he said, you know, I really do know about nutrition. I just don't feel equal to them. I feel inferior. And he studied with me, I think, for 8 months, took the march for 8 months. At the end of that time, that man had massive self-confidence. As long as I knew him, when I was in Santa Monica, I'd see him from time to time. He just was rolling with self-confidence. Now, that's called a thorough constitutional transformation. That's where you take the deepest negative acting, deepest negative character defect inside the personality, and you change it from the negative over to the positive. A woman in Montana brought me her husband. He was the most dominating man I've ever met, a spiritual man, a very loving, kind man, but dominating like you can't believe. And she had me give him remedies, I think it was like 5-6 months, and then she told me he's no longer dominating. That is a thorough constitution transformation. That's one of the things you want to learn how to do with Bob Flowers, is work with someone until the most impatient man that I ever met. He and I worked together about 8 months. He took the impatience. In England, they call him patience. He took the impatience remedy, and after about 8 months, he was no longer impatient. It was really cool. His migraines were gone. His back pain was gone, and he was a laid-back California guy. Also gave him vervain, in Rockwater, which the other two remedies for being a workaholic, which we'll get into at a later time. Oversensitive. Well, you're oversensitive because you just don't feel very much confidence. Oversensitive to criticism. March really didn't like to be criticized. Easily crushed. You just say anything to Bill, criticizing his work in any way, and he gets so crushed. When you have a lack of confidence, if people say anything that puts you down or criticizes you, you feel so crushed because you don't feel real good as far as self-esteem by who you are, what you're doing anyway. Now, and then self-consciousness. Now, check this out. Expectation of failure. This is one of the things unique with large. The large remedy looks into their project or their future or whatever they're doing. They go, oh, my God, I'm going to fail. I know I'm going to fail. So they have an anticipation of failure. They expect failure. I just have the sense that things aren't going to work. I might fail. So it's a kind of self-doubt that comes out of the low self-esteem. So fear of trying. She didn't really think that she could do it. So this remedy is a procrastination remedy. And there's three procrastination remedies. You can write these down. Large, Mimulus, which is a remedy we went over last week and a little bit today. Large, Mimulus, and Sclerantus. S-C-L-E-R-A-N-T-H-U-S. Sclerantus is a, and Larch and Mimulus, those are the remedies you take for procrastination. Failure to make an attempt. Well, they don't make an attempt to get started because they're going, oh my God, I'm going to fail. It's not going to work. They put off projects because of the fear of failure. I was just somehow put the brakes on them. It seems like I can't accept the payoff. So in a sense, see, the large person, they can't see. They put off or abort projects because of the fear of failure. I was just somehow put the brakes on them. Seems like I can't accept the payoff. So the large can't receive. The self-esteem remedies do have a difficulty receiving. The large is not about overgiving. It's about just that you don't feel good enough. Let me take some large stories here, some cool large stories. There was a doctor in Santa Monica, a medical doctor, who studied with me, and she told me that she hated giving public speeches. And she called me one night, invited me over to her house, and told me that she was going to give a public speech that day. It was about 10 o'clock at night. And she had gone and given the speech, and she got a standing ovation. She absolutely hated public speeches. But what had happened, she said, in the morning, she started taking the large remedy. She took it all day. And it flooded her with, oh, and by the way, I don't know if you can hear, but here comes a train passing. I just think it's cool. I'm sitting down by the train tracks in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of my radio show. Here comes the train. Well, it just passed. Okay. So she took the larch all day. See, the remedy floods you with the opposing virtue that you don't have. That's the way they work. So if it has a vibrational, tonal, harmonic, resonant frequency that vibrates into your consciousness, the emotional state that you don't have. So she didn't have confidence. She didn't like giving speeches. She always thought she was going to be a failure and be laughed off the stage. So by taking large all day, she fluttered herself with the virtue of large. She went and gave the speech. That night, she got a standing ovation. She was blown away. Remember the guy I told you about, the most impatient man I ever met? Not only was I giving him impatience, which in England they call impotence, and there's no way I'm going to call that them being impotent. It's like in England, they call Dr. Bach, they call him Dr. Batch. I says, guys, I'm not going to call him Dr. Batch. there's just no way that that's a good thing. I'll say Bach, you say Batch, and they go, okay, that's good. Well, anyway, so not only did I give him Impatience, I gave him March. And about 3 weeks into taking March, he called me. He was pounding on the top of the car. He said, and he hated giving public speeches too. It just killed him at law school to give a public speech. And he said that he was pounding and screaming, pounding the top of the car, because he said he had given a public speech to all these attorneys in Los Angeles at this hotel, and he gave this public speech, and there were just hundreds and hundreds of attorneys, and he got a standing ovation. He says, I've never done anything like that in my life. He says, do you think it's the Larch? Well, we had had him on Larch, I think, like for 3 months or 4 months or something like that. I said, yeah, dude, it's got to be the Larch. There was a lady who was in one of my classes, had the worst guilt of anyone I'd ever met in my entire life. Now, the remedy for guilt is called purging, which is one of the remedies we'll take up here in a few weeks. So I gave her a pint because she had the worst guilt, I think, of anyone I think I've ever met. And she had no self-confidence at all. I mean, her self-confidence was in the gutter. It was buried 20 feet below the gutter. About 8 months, she took my course, 4 weeks. It was every Wednesday night in Santa Monica. And then when she's done with the course, she continued with the March, she continued with the Pine. And I met her about 8 months later from when we started working together. And she told me that for all practical purposes, she doesn't have any more guilt. And she's just rolling in self-confidence. She was also a very, she wasn't very pretty at all. She was ugly. You know, some people are ugly, some people are pretty. And I knew from the beginning that the reason she was ugly was because her husband beat the crap out of her emotionally every day. Everyone beat her up, sucked her energy, took her power, and it left her feeling like white trash inside of herself. And that ended up being interpreted energy-wise, and she just wasn't pretty. After 8 months of taking the March and of taking the for confidence and of taking time for guilt, I'm telling you, that woman was very pretty. Blew me away. I'm still to this day when I talk about it, I'm blown away. And let me tell you who represents confidence more than anyone else. I'm your favorite confidence person. Do you remember Mr. Rogers? Mr. Rogers talking to the children, educating children, all the children loved him. And he had these long sleeve sweaters, and you never saw him without a long sleeve sweater. Do you know why? Well, the answer is because he had tattoos all up and down his arms, because he had been a professional Navy SEAL for many, many years. He was a trained killer, trained in explosives, and knew how he was a top soldier. He had confidence, but when he went to be with the children, he was still confident and loving. So when you heal the issues of your confidence, that's where you're going to go, to the same place as Mr. Rogers, where you can speak softly and gently, quietly, and everybody hangs on what you're saying, and they're going like, well, she sure knows what she's talking about. She sounds like that she knows what she's talking about, because she's so confident. Now, if I got enough light here, I'm going to read you. Really cool from Dr. Bob. Turn the light on here. I can get to, there we go. Maybe that'll give me enough light. Dr. Bob writes, thus we have to face the fact that disease is entirely of our own making, and that the only cure is to correct our faults. All true healing aims at assisting the patient to put his soul and mind and body in harmony. Okay. So Dr. Bach is saying that disease is really of our own making, and what we need to focus on is correcting our faults. We need to heal our fear. We need to heal our resentment. We need to heal our lack of confidence. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the other remedies that are in the shielding group to help you to learn to become shielded and protected from people putting negative energy on you or people sucking your energy. And you go stand at the store, some parasitic person standing beside you can just suck the life right out of you. And then your soul, see, God is telling you, hey, you've got to change this about yourself. You have to learn to become shielded and go around so open all the time. So then God sends pain and disease as a wake-up call. And in our age, God has chosen to use disease as a wake-up call to get us to resolve our faults and our failings, to heal our traumas, and to grow. But, you know, in our society, people don't like to grow. They like to stay exactly where they are. Sex, money, power. Just give me those things. I don't like to change. I don't like to grow. As Hahnemann, the founder of homeopathy, laid down, all healing which is not from within is harmful. And the apparent cure of the body obtained through materialistic methods. So he said, if the healing doesn't come from within you, Dr. Bach here is saying it's harmful. Because if you use materialistic methods obtained only through the action of others, so somebody doing something to you, fixing you, healing you, fixing you up, without self-help, may certainly bring physical relief, but harm to our higher natures, for the lesson has remained unlearned, and the fault has not yet been eradicated. So God sends to us our suffering, the disease. If we go and want someone to just magic it away, and it can be harmful to us because we haven't learned the lesson behind it and corrected the faults. It is terrible today to think of the amount of artificial and superficial cures obtained through money and wrong methods of medicine. It's Dr. Bach's words. Wrong methods because they merely suppress symptoms, give apparent relief without removing the cause. I read that again. It is terrible today to think of the amount of artificial and superficial cures obtained through money and wrong methods of medicine. Wrong methods because they merely suppress symptoms, give apparent relief without removing the cause. Healing must come from within ourselves by acknowledging and correcting our faults and harmonizing our being with the divine plan. We need to get in touch with and harmonize with and get into sync with the grand plan, the great plan for our own personal life. And as the Creator, in His mercy, has placed certain divinely enriched herbs to assist us to our victory, let us seek these out and use them to the best of our ability to help us climb to the mountaintop of our evolution until the day when we shall reach the summit of perfection. It's just like life is like a school. It's like we're going to a school. We're supposed to learn how to. So this year, man, we're supposed to learn how to be so darn dominating. Next year, we're supposed to learn how to heal our self-esteem. The next year, we're supposed to learn how to get rid of our fears. The next year, we're supposed to learn how to quit being a workaholic. The next year, we're supposed to learn how to quit criticizing everybody, controlling everybody, putting everybody down. But the people in the world who are materialistic don't like to learn anything. They don't like to grow. Don't like to work on themselves. And so we have a massive plague and disease. In correct healing, nothing must be used, Bob continues, which relieves the patient of his own responsibility. But such means only must be adopted which help him to overcome his faults. So that is secret of disease. So I wanted to, let me tell you a little bit about my school, and then we'll end for the night. My school, the Academy of Healing, is a one-year certification program. I sit beside you, hold your hand, hour each week, and help you walk through the gateways and the doorways of your own personal healing. Because you can't learn healing unless you learn it on yourself. So you're going to ask other people to go through the gateways healing. You better know how to do it on yourself. And you better be doing it on yourself in current time. So to do that, I sit beside you and help you. We talk about an hour each week. We skip a week here and there. We talk about an hour a week, and I help you go through the healing process on yourself. Within about a couple, 2 or 3, 4 months, I have you working with other people using the remedies. I teach you the advanced protocols of the Bach Flower remedies, how to really get things cooking, get the job done on the emotional component, the root cause of suffering. I teach you the wonderful SAF system, which is Louise Hay says is the hottest form of therapy on the planet Earth. She used some words that are like that. She just loved the SAF. I love it too. I just think it's just too cool for school. I teach you that. I teach you the wonderful alignment technique. You must test the feet and hold a few points in the forehead and behind the head. Voila, the bones in the spine go into a complete spinal alignment. Most people will come out of pain. It's just the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I do it, and I teach it, and I've been teaching for many, many years. And that's also part of the course. We get a certified nutrition consultant. I teach you a really cool system of diet and nutrition, which allows you to help people to heal from their suffering. And we give certified herbalist, certified nutrition consultant. We give certified homeopath and homeopathic certification in the treatment of animals. Because when you learn how to take care of people, you'll know how to take care of the animals. They got souls. They got the same problems that people have. They got the fear. They got the anxiety. They're being dominated by others. They're dominating other people. And their own souls are telling them to stop it. So they need to learn to correct their faults. And I teach you about that, of course. So that's pretty much what my course is. And there's no written tests. I don't like paperwork. I don't think you really learn that way. I think the way you, there's books that you read. I think the way you learn it is you learn about yourself and learn to help other people. And then, let's see, what else can I say? I have 2 books, which are the textbooks for the course, which anyone can get. One is called The Art of Healing, and the other is called Physician Heal Thyself, Art of Healing, 640 pages. Physician Heal Thyself, 450 pages. Those books are available. They're e-books. If you get in touch with me, I send them to you. Then you can read them and study them. My telephone number is 406-585-0774. That's 406-585-0774. DrEricLove.com. DrEricLove.com. My direct email is medicinewind.11@gmail.com. medicinewind.11@gmail.com. And if you feel like you'd like to learn the system, I would love to teach it to you. I would love to have people study with me who want to teach it to other people. We need to get this out to the world because this system is cooler than July. It gets the job done. You don't have to bless you all. And thanks for coming to my little radio show. And I look forward to having you join me next week.
Healing the Heart with Dr. Eric Love can be heard every Sunday night here on the BBS Radio Network at 6 p.m. PST and 9 p.m. Eastern on Station 1. Please visit his website at www.drericlove.com or call him at 406-585-0774. Thank you for listening.